People are settling. If you would find Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, put a piece of paper there or a pen or something there. We'll come to that in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 4. And then if you would find 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Once again, we'll come to Hebrews 4, verse 12, in just a couple of minutes. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This morning, the message is entitled, Adequately Equipped. As many of you know, we just this week finished a week of reading through the Bible. There were over 125 individuals that took part in that. There were our elementary school kids here. Their classes came and read over a 30-minute time frame, so there were close to 200 individuals that came and read through the Bible as we started last Sunday morning with Melinda McKeska at 12:30. We finished on Friday afternoon at 1:58 p.m. with Christy Cannon reading, and many of you were a part of that, so thank you. One of the amazing things to me every time that we do it is the testimonies that come out of it. Those of you that have read know that God uses His Word. It doesn't matter where you are in it. It doesn't matter what is happening in your life, but God can use His Word to speak directly to you. So many times you and I go to the sections of Scripture or the verses that are familiar to us because we know them or we feel comfortable with them. And we don't take time to go into places that we haven't been or that we may not understand. And reading through the Bible allows you to do that. It allows you to go through and maybe see some things or maybe even hear some things that you haven't paid attention to before. One of the reasons that we read through the Bible on occasion in this church is to not only commemorate something or to remind us of something, but even more importantly than that, we want to fill this church with the Word of God. More than we fill this church with anything else, we want to make sure that the Word is preached, proclaimed, and lived out in this church and on this campus. So to all of those of you who took the time to come and read, thank you for doing that. I know I don't have to tell you that because if you took the time to engage in the Word, then it was a blessing to you to be here. So thank you for being a part of that. Last week, I shared with you that last week and today, I wanted to take time to share messages about the Word of God, and that's what we're going to do again this morning. Last week, we took two sections out of Psalm 119, and we saw that the Word of God is everything that you need. It is absolutely everything that you need. Last week, we took time to see the psalmist's testimony about how the Word of God had ministered to him in all kinds of situations and how it had blessed him, how it had challenged him, how it had corrected him. And today, we're going to look at two other passages of Scripture that are also personal testimonies of experience in God's Word and how His Word has impacted their lives and how they desire for God's Word to impact others. So if you haven't already, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 16 and 17, and then I'll explain the context to you. Most of the time, we'll take a big section of Scripture or a chapter and work through that. This morning, we're going to do something different and just take a couple of verses, but I will explain the context so you can have a better grip or a better understanding of where these verses are coming from. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, God's Word says, All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. If you take time to go back and look at the context of what's happening here, this is a letter that Paul was writing to a younger minister named Timothy. And he was encouraging him. 1 Timothy and here in 2 Timothy are both letters to a younger Timothy trying to encourage him and mentor him in the ministry. And here Paul is telling Timothy that difficulties will come, not just for him and his life, but also for the people that he will be ministering to. And Paul wants him to understand that in those difficulties, God has a plan. And in those challenges, it does not mean that God has abandoned those people. But in fact, he wants him to expect that those difficulties are going to come. Specifically, he tells him to avoid men, people who are living according to the world. He says, I need you to be careful and don't be attracted to those men who are living according to the world. No matter how attractive their life might be, understand that you need to be living for God. And more specifically, he says to him, I want you to be careful about men, people, who have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. Who are living in such a way that on the outside, their life looks like they may be following God, but on the inside, and the fruit of their life is absolutely testimony to the fact that they are not living according to the word. They are living a form of godliness, but they are denying its power. In other words, they can say the right things, but they're not doing the right things. There are people who may have the right answers according to the word, but their lives don't represent God any more than they do anything else. So Paul is encouraging Timothy to stay away from those kind of people, but understand that difficulties are going to come. He even tells him that he should follow, Paul says you should follow my example of desiring to live a godly life. You see, Timothy had spent time with Paul, not just on occasion, but they had been acquainted with one another and lived with one another, and Timothy had come, and Paul was trying to teach and train him to do the right things. So he saw him in front of crowds, but he also saw him behind the scenes. And Paul knew that while he was a sinner, that he was desiring to live his life according to God's word, and he wanted Timothy to be able to do the same. In verse number 12, he tells him, let me actually read it to you. Verse number 12 of 2 Timothy 2, Paul says this to Timothy, and indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He's trying to prepare him that he needs to hold on to the word of God, because that will not change. The difficulties are going to come in his own life, even though he's living for God, even though he's ministering for God. Those difficulties and challenges are still going to come. But he also needs to understand that he's going to be ministering to people who are going through difficulties and challenges. If you listen to somebody, if you read somebody's book, or you listen to their podcast who says that if you and I will just live a godly life, then we won't have any difficulties, read them verse 12. Because God, through Paul, tells Timothy, you will have difficulties. And even though you're living a godly life, even though you're living before God and you're serving him, does not mean that you won't be persecuted, because he tells Timothy, you will be persecuted. So be careful and hold on to the word of God. That leads us to verse 16, where Paul tells Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Paul is trying to help Timothy. And he says all scripture, that means from beginning to end, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, verse 21. From beginning to end, all scripture, Paul says to him, he says is inspired. That word literally in the Greek means to be God-breathed. In other words, it's communication that's inspired by God. God didn't dictate to the writers of the 66 books of the Bible what to say. He inspired them what to say. He led them in what to write. You ever been inspired before? Those of you that are musicians, you ever been inspired to write a verse or a song because of something that you experienced or something that came into your mind that inspired you? You ever been inspired creatively, those of you that are creative? Something just hit you and you just got to create something. You got to make something that represents whatever's in your mind. You ever been inspired by somebody else to do better because of what you've seen in their life? If you've been inspired, then you understand what Paul is telling Timothy here. All scripture is inspired by God, not by them who wrote it, but by God himself who gave them the understanding and the communication and helped them understand what should be written. He says all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. That means it has a benefit. Even the genealogies that you read have a benefit. Even the words and the parts of scripture that you can't understand, those have a benefit. The scriptures that you do understand, your life verse and other things, all of those things are profitable. They have an advantage because they're coming from God. And then he says four things that the Word of God is helpful in and profitable for. Number one is teaching. That's literally formal instruction. If you have a child that's trying to learn 1 + 1 = 2 in the classroom, the teacher may teach 1 + 1 = 2, and some children just get it. It's just there. It's that they grab a hold of that. But you may have other children that need to learn it a different way. Just because the teacher said it doesn't mean I grab a hold of it. Scripture can be the same way. It doesn't mean here that that you can only understand Scripture by somebody standing in front of you and lecturing you or preaching to you. Teaching is any kind of formal instruction. Some of us learn better by observing. Some of us learn better by seeing it happen in front of us. Some of us learn better by reading it and meditating on it and thinking about it and processing it and all of those kinds of things. All that's part of instruction. Good teachers help us grab a hold of it no matter what our limitations or what our strengths are in trying to learn. He says scripture is profitable in teaching. It's also profitable in reproof. Literally, that means to tell you what's wrong but give you proof by it. In other words, it's not just pulling something out of the air. You ever read scripture and the scripture just jumps off the page at you? And you're like, ooh, wait a minute, I might need a course correction here. That's God reproving you and showing you, not necessarily that you're committing sin, but it may be something that he wants you to do different. You ever felt the Holy Spirit nudge you and try to encourage you to do something different than what you've been doing? How many of us have tried to pray? Or we've said in our time with the Lord, we're going to start praying. And then we read scripture and it says we should pray. And then we read where Jesus went out early in the morning and he prayed. And it seems like every scripture that we open somehow, some way is telling us to pray. But we don't do it. And then the next day, we open it up again and we again see more scripture on prayer. That's reproof. God is trying to show us. He's showing us where we can better benefit if we'll just listen to him. He's reproving us. He also will correct you. That means, that's the third thing. It means he'll bring something that is wrong and now show you what is right. You ever been doing something and then you read scripture and you see, oh, wait a minute, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe you already knew it, but maybe you didn't. And now you see it. And now all of a sudden, because of what you've read in God's word, you recognize and acknowledge, and before God, you are responsible for it now. He has corrected you, and he wants you to follow that. The fourth thing that Paul says to Timothy that the scripture is beneficial for is training in righteousness. That literally means instruction in what God requires. Righteousness means to be in right standing with God. The Bible instructs us. It helps us. It literally helps us create good and proper habits to do the right thing if we'll just read the scripture and make it part of our lives. Not only is scripture profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, but it also, the result, the fruit of spending time in it is that mankind, men and women, boys and girls, spending time in God's word will be adequate. Now in the English language, adequate to you and I mean just kind of average. But what it literally means here in the original language is that you are sufficient and ready to do whatever God calls you to do. You're ready. Whatever he calls you to, you are adequate, you are qualified so that you can accomplish what he puts in front of you. Not only are you adequate, but you are equipped. You are sufficient and ready for whatever he calls you to do. And he says, for every good work. That doesn't mean that he has to give you something special to do to make you important. He literally means, the phrase there, for every good work, means literally what you and I do every day, what we normally do. You're adequate and equipped. You're ready and qualified to do what God calls you to do every single day if you're spending time in His Word. You feel inadequate? Good. Depend on Him. Because, Paul tells Timothy, difficulties are coming. Those who try to live a godly life are going to be persecuted. It's not going to be easy. And because of that, remember that you always have the Word of God to help you and to guide you, to hold on to, because it's always true. In fact, the Word of God provides everything that you and I will ever need in this life. As you think about that, I encourage you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Again, I'm going to read to you one verse here, and then I'll give you the context of it so you know where we're coming from. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 also talks about the Word of God. God's Word says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The context here is that the writer of the book of Hebrews, we're not absolutely sure who that is, doesn't matter, it's still God's Word. But the writer here is encouraging those who are reading this letter that we call Hebrews that God has provided rest for His own. Ultimately, that's eternal rest that He's provided through His Son, Jesus Christ. But He tells them in verse 2, look at it, "For indeed we have heard, had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." You ever heard the Word of God and it meant nothing to you? Did you hear the good news of Jesus Christ for many, many years and yet you never grabbed a hold of it and made Jesus Christ your own? That's because you never united the Word of God that is always true. You never united that with your faith, with your trust in God and who He is, and that His Word is true no matter what it says. Some heard the good news, but it didn't profit them because it wasn't united in their hearts by the faith of those who heard. He says we should want everyone to experience the eternal rest of God that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then he goes to verse 12, again in the same way that Paul was telling Timothy, hold on to the Word of God. Everything else may change, but God's Word does not. God's Word, what He has said, is living, it's alive. Even though it was written thousands of years ago in some cases, it's still applicable to you and I today. Doesn't matter what generation that you were born into. The Word of God is living. It is not dull, it is not boring, it is not something that is not pertinent to your life, but it is actually alive. And if you'll use it, if you'll spend time in it, you'll see that more and more and more. As Dr. Jones taught us this morning, if we can just whet our appetites by getting into the Word of God takes care of itself. It draws you in more and more. If you'll just stay connected, if you'll just stay in it, it will draw you in more and more because it's about God and His Word. It is living. It is also active, which means it is effective in causing something to happen in your life. Again, you ever read it and the words jump off the page? You ever had somebody tell you of a testimony of how they read something and it corresponded with something that was going on in their life at that moment? That's because it's living and active. It's also sharper than any two-edged sword. The word sword there literally means a short sword for cutting and piercing, something that is very effective and efficient. It's two-edged, so it pierces. It's able to cut right through anything that may be in its way. You may be living a life of sin and pull the Bible out and you start reading it and then it penetrates through all the junk and the yuck of the stuff that you've created. The Bible can pierce all of that. You also may have built up frustrations or questions or doubts towards God. The Word of God, if you'll spend time in it, can cut through all of that stuff. It can convince you that God is right and that He is who He says He is. And that even though you may be going through difficulties that you or someone else has brought on, or that may just be a part of life, that God can work in and through all of that. It's able to pierce between your soul and your spirit when you and I can't divide that. Your soul is who you are. It's what you're thinking. It's your emotions. It's your life. It's the good stuff and the bad stuff. Your spirit is the non-material part of you that is sensitive to the things of God and belongs to Him. You ever seen your soul separated from your spirit? Neither have I. But the Bible can separate the two. The writer of Hebrews also says that God's word can split the joints and the marrow. In other words, the deepest parts of who you are, God sees and He knows and He can take care of. Again, you ever read God's word and all of a sudden He's hitting you in a spot you didn't even know you had? Or He's hitting an area over and over and over again that you haven't wanted to address? That's the word of God. It's God's word speaking to your heart. Because he says, the writer here says, the word of God is able to judge your thoughts and your intentions. It's able to determine your reasoning and your intended purposes for whatever you're doing. And if it's not right before God, whatever your intention, whatever your purpose is, he can correct it. He can lead you in a different path because the word of God ministers to our heart, who we really are when nobody else is looking. The Word of God adequately equips us, but you've got to spend time in it. You've got to make it a part of your life. When I was a freshman in high school, I had grown up in church, gave my heart to Jesus Christ at 9 years old, never wavered from that. That was very important to me. We went to church every time the doors were open in our house. My dad and my mom both made sure of that. But when I was a freshman in high school, I became convicted that I had not spent adequate time in the Word of God. And what if somebody asked me if I had read this book that the word that my faith, Christianity, is based on? I might be able to tell them some stories that I knew. I might be able to even quote some scriptures that I knew. But I wouldn't be able to tell them that I had taken the time, that this faith that was so important to me and that it was based on this book, the Word of God, that I had taken the time to ever read it from beginning to end. And so I felt convicted between my freshman and sophomore year as the new year began. The church we were attending at the time had little slips of paper, and it was a bookmark that would help you read through the Bible in a year. And so I committed myself that year to read through the Bible. That literally was the start of the middle of my freshman year and then into the first part of my sophomore year. That literally, I would do that every night because I made that commitment to myself, but more importantly, to the Lord. And on occasion, I would read my Bible, but once I started that, it developed in me the habit, the desire, the commitment to spend time in the Word of God because I saw the benefit of that. And I would do that before I went to bed through high school. When I went to college, I changed that and started doing it in the mornings, and now, even to this day, my habit, my priority, my preference is to spend time in the Word of God in the morning. That started for me in high school because I was convicted I had never read through this book before. And if it was so important to me, then why wasn't I spending time in it? Not just for other people, but more importantly, for me. Are you and I adequately equipped to do whatever God calls us to do? We are if we're spending time in His Word. We're not if we're not. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the incredible power of Your Word. We thank You that it truly is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, we thank You that Your Word is inspired, that it is profitable, and that it benefits us. But if we're just keeping it on the shelf as a good luck charm, or we're carrying it around on occasion to make other people think that we know what we're talking about when we start spouting our opinions, then we have no idea what we're doing with Your Word. But Father, help us to be students of Your Word. Help us to be committed to Your Word. Doesn't matter what our age is. What matters is that we're spending time in Your Word, because it's Your Word and You use it to speak to us. Life is hard. Your Word says that. And there's not much that we can depend on in this life. But we can depend on you and the truth of your word because it will never, ever change. So Father, help us to desire to spend more time in your word and then help us to actually spend time in your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.